My name is Leif Arneson. My brother Anders and I are on a mission to help 1 million vegans get into the best shape of their lives. We firmly believe that the more healthy and fit vegans there are, the faster we can change the world. Let's work together to inspire change, spread compassion, and challenge the status quo. Welcome to the Vegan Gym Podcast. Over the past decade plus of my health and fitness journey, I've made so many mistakes in the pursuit of my ultimate fitness goals. And lots of that came down to me just not understanding kind of the fundamentals of nutrition and fitness and how to do nutrition and fitness in a way that aligned with my goals and was sustainable and healthful and something that was actually constructive in my life. So this is something that I have a lot of experience with, and I know that you do as well. So I'd love to kind of hear more about the story that we were talking about earlier in our one-on-one conversation about how you have kind of gone through these various dieting phases and kind of the lessons that you've learned along the way.
Absolutely. And thank you for giving me this platform to share, Leif. I'm really glad to be here. So I think I'll just start kind of where I got interested in, health and, fitness in general. So, I studied exercise science in school, came into college not really knowing what I wanted to, study or what I wanted to do for my career. I was, pretty lost. And so, after my first year, I figured I would kind of go down the physical therapy route. And the reason I kind of came to that decision was that I know that I wanted to work kind of personally one-on-one with people. And my mom was a PT for many years. So I talked to her about that. And she said that she made some, you know, really great connections. And, she loves working with people. So she said that, you know, that might be a career path for you to explore. So that was kind of the direction that I figured I was heading with things. So I switched into exercise science. I was loving all the classes that I was taking. And in between my sophomore and junior year, I found this this book lying around my house, Bigger, Leaner, Stronger by Mike Matthews. And we were talking about this the other day, and you said that that was a book that you...
Yeah, that was a hugely kind of pivotal book in my fitness journey as well.
Yeah, so I found...
So you actually weren't the one who bought it.
No.
It was like your parents or something?
My dad had it lying around the house.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, which is really funny. And I was moving up to school in a couple weeks, and so I found the book laying around, and he was like, yeah, you should take it. Like, I haven't had the chance to read it yet. And so I thought, this is probably something that could be relevant to my future career, and it's kind of aligned with my major, so I'll give it a read. And I started learning more about nutrition and exercise, and so I was like, okay, I'm gonna give this thing a try. So I used the book to kind of calculate, you know, how many calories do I think I need, and I was learning about all these, you know, calories and macros that were completely foreign concepts to me, essentially. So I used that to create my own meal plan for myself, and I was someone who was overweight for most of my life, and I figured that the thing that would, you know, helped me to feel more confident about myself was getting the body that I wanted. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to use this. I'm going to do a fat loss plan, and I'm going to use this meal plan to get me there. So I created this meal plan, and I was probably about 168 pounds at the time and had never really done any kind of formal weight training. You know, I'd always been in and out of the gym, do workouts here and there, but not really know what I was doing. So this is the first time that I had kind of like a structured plan, a structured approach. And so this was during the summer that I started. And over the course of about 3 months, I went from probably like 168 pounds to 142 pounds, 143 pounds, so like pretty like 25 pounds in 3 months is a definitely a decent amount of weight loss. And so through that process, I ended up, I had a six pack pretty well defined, and all my friends were giving me these compliments and saying like, oh, you look great. Like, you know, you've been working out, sort of thing. And so that, in addition to seeing like the number on the scale drop repeatedly, almost became like addicting in a way. And I was addicted to seeing, you know, progress, not just in my physique, but also in the gym and getting stronger and pushing the numbers up, et cetera. But there were some other things that I was bringing into that were not as positive. And some of those things, like I'll give an example, like intermittent fasting was something that I was doing before I started my fitness journey. And so once I started that, I wanted to keep that in for whatever reason. I felt like that was something that I had been doing and that I liked doing. So I kept that in. But, you know, I was in this pretty steep caloric deficit. Like I think I was eating maybe like 1600 calories a day or something for the duration of these 3 months. And so I would go into the gym, fasted and having not, been eating a ton of food, didn't eat anything beforehand, hyped up on caffeine to get me through my workouts. And it was just not a very sustainable approach. So by the time I got down to that weight, I was feeling, pretty burnt out from the whole thing. There were a couple kind of stories that stick out in my mind. And this one is one that, really sticks out. Is I was sitting out on my porch in my college town with some friends, and we were just talking and sitting around, and some of them knew that I was, doing this new, I guess, lifestyle change. Like they had seen me like weighing my food and sort of thing. And I swear, like they thought I was like an alien. Like they looked at me so strange, because that's just not like a thing college students really do. Like college students eat ramen and don't pay attention to their food because it's not important. So I was doing this thing that was kind of odd, and people didn't really understand, oh, that's so extreme, why are you doing that? And which is odd considering they're giving me these like compliments as well in terms of like how good I look. So it's like you're complimenting on one hand, but then on the other hand you're saying like, oh, what you're doing is so extreme or so weird. But I mean, they were right in a certain extent. Like it didn't need to be as extreme as I made it. I was super rigid where I couldn't deviate from my meal plan or like go out to eat, because I thought it would ruin all of my results, instead of just understanding that, if you're pretty consistent, you can occasionally have some of those moments where, you're going out to eat, or you're going and making a meal that is not specifically in your plan, but like, similar calories sort of thing. Like that was just not anything that I had a concept of. And so we were out on this porch and they offered me a piece of candy, and I was like, no, I don't really want it. And they're like, oh, why can't you have it? And I was like, I just don't really want it, because I didn't want to say like, oh, it's not my meal plan, I can't have it. And I just remember they kept like bugging me and like teasing me and poking me for that. And I just felt like ashamed for the rest of the day afterwards, and like angry and upset. And that really just stuck out to me. And so by the time I got to this lean kind of physique, there were some habits that I had picked up, occasionally the hunger gets to you, and I had some, episodes, I guess you could call them binges, where like, after the time that I was supposed to have stopped eating, because I was still intermittent fasting, I would, eat something, and then it was like, oh, I ate this one thing outside of my my window, now everything's off the rails and I'm just eating a bunch of food. And that happened a couple of times, and it just kind of started to make me think like maybe what I'm doing is not super sustainable right now.
Yeah, that's a little bit like a kind of all or nothing approach to your nutrition. And I have, when I first got started in my kind of nutrition journey specifically, I liked using nutrition to control my life. Like, at the time when I first really started getting into nutrition, our parents had just divorced and we moved away from all of our friends, and we were in a totally new town. I was in a new school. I just went into high school. So new school, didn't know anyone. And I really viewed nutrition as something that I could control, that I had direct impact on. So I started being very specific about, very restrictive about what I could consume and could not consume. And I would have like egg whites every single morning. I had it a certain way. And then I would have other things. I went through various phases. And there was this one phase, actually, I guess kind of at the very beginning, when I was just kind of hyper-focused on being as thin as possible. And the reason that I kind of, that I leaned on, or that I used probably in hindsight as an excuse, was just saying, hey, I really... the less I weigh, the easier it will be for me to run. And I was in cross country at the time, so I was like, okay, the thinner I am, the faster I'm going to be. And that turned out to kind of become a really negative mindset around nutrition. And I would have like Goline cereal every single morning with skim milk. And it was like, that is what I had. I couldn't have anything else. And I had like this one specific bowl I used. And like, I wasn't really weighing my nutrition at that point, but I just, I had the same amount every single day because I used the same bowl, put in the same amount of cereal. And when I went to school, I brought the same thing for lunch, and I just was really restrictive around that. And then I came home and I would eat Jell-O. Like I would just like fill up with Jell-O and stuff. So like I developed a, from the beginning, kind of a really negative view around nutrition, because I viewed it as something that I could control. Like, this is within my control, and I can make my body be the way that I want it to. And that was obviously not really conducive to what my goals are now in terms of kind of being fit and being healthy. But at the time, that's kind of what I initially gravitated towards with my nutrition. And since then, I've just kind of been on a journey of learning. From that point, I kind of shifted more to like the egg whites and the chicken breast with rice and broccoli, and kind of that style of diet, as I started getting more into fitness and thinking more along the lines of bodybuilding and reading the bodybuilding.com forums, which is basically where I got all my information when I first got started, and reading those articles. And that that was kind of my initial kind of path into nutrition. And that was I think the bottom line from these first, from your experience and kind of what I went through, is that I guess first of all, you should work to kind of learn more of like the science-based nutrition approaches from the outset of your journey. But understanding that that kind of learning along the way is part of the process, and you're going to make some mistakes. You're going to maybe set things up in a way that's not ideal for your fitness goals or for your schedule or lifestyle. But long term, you're going to figure out the right approach as long as you stick with it.
Yeah. And I think you kind of hit on an important point there with like the all or nothing mentality sort of thing, is like, nobody is ever going to be 100% adherent or 100% consistent. So it's about doing the best that you can do, and having some like compassion for yourself if, you know, there are some times where things don't go to plan and you have to adapt and you have to adjust, and being able to have like a flexible mindset. And it's interesting that you bring up the control part of things as well, because I feel a very similar way. Like, I had never really felt like I had control over the way that my body looked or kind of the way that I felt about myself. And this was, you know, once I started to implement these things, I was like, oh, I do actually have control. I can actually make these changes. And it did get taken to a point where it was almost, you know, too extreme in that sense. Like I was trying to have too much control over every single little thing, to the point where it didn't allow for, you know, flexibility in my life, and it was actually taking away from opportunities and experiences.
Yeah, you really don't want to, once you kind of get some sense of that control after feeling like you didn't have control for so long, it's hard to relinquish that in any way. And it's I think that's how many eating disorders can start developing, is when you kind of get stuck in that mindset. And it's a difficult mindset to get out of. And I didn't have a serious eating disorder, but I definitely had kind of disordered eating, and that was really not conducive to my goals. And it's even like, the most disordered eating I probably had was that initial phase where I was just like focused on, hey, I got Goline with skim milk. I got half a sandwich with like some bottled water and a bag of chips and then Jell-O and a little bit of whatever my mom would make every single day, but really just kind of to appease her. And that was difficult, but then I kind of transitioned that to looking more through controlling my nutrition in what I viewed to be a positive way and saying, yep, I'm going to be super strict and I'm going to hit this protein target. And this is exactly, these are the only foods I'm going to have in my diet. I'm not going to deviate from this plan at all. And I would just get really kind of caught up on that. So how did you transition from following a set meal plan and where did you kind of go from there?
Yeah, so I think after, you know, this initial 3-month period, it was a time of change for me. So I was going back to school. I was playing Ultimate Frisbee. So I essentially at that time decided that what I wanted to do was not to keep following this meal plan. And I wanted to try experimenting with more flexible approaches. So I'm glad that I was able to kind of have that broader view and be able to say, okay, this isn't sustainable the way that I'm doing things right now. And so I downloaded a tracking app and I started playing around with different things and like putting meals in there and like had my nutrition targets, but it wasn't like I had specific set meals that I had to have every single day. So I started to get a little bit more flexible and inclusive in my approach. And at the same time, I decided that the physique that I had at this point, as much as I enjoyed the way that I looked in some aspects, like I did like that I had a 6-pack for the first time, but I didn't necessarily like, you know, how kind of like scrawny and like stringy I looked at the end of the initial phase. And, you know, I couldn't really tell if I'd put on much muscle at all or if I just kind of lost body fat and maintained what I had. So I decided that kind of for also my, you know, my athletic performance in Ultimate Frisbee and all these things that I wanted to do a bulk, which is essentially just being in a caloric surplus. And this was kind of the first time that I was experimenting with this sort of thing. And I was definitely a little bit scared. Actually, I'll tell you a funny story. You'll probably get a kick out of this. So I actually messaged Mike Matthews on Instagram and said, hey, I just like, this is my story. I just did like all of this. I want to enter a surplus. What do you think I should do? And it took him a couple of days, but he actually wrote back to me and said like, okay, this is kind of, you should maybe consider, you know, this might be your maintenance and then adding a certain number of calories to this and going from there. And that actually kind of gave me the reassurance that I needed to enter that phase. So cool. I'm grateful that he reached back out and offered that. So I had that. And once I started playing Frisbee, I didn't really like include that in the equation. So it still wasn't that I had like a super great grasp on like calorie balance in terms of, you know, physical activity being one side of things and obviously like your resting metabolic rate, you know, how many calories you're just burning sitting each day, and then like the food side of things on the other. So I was kind of using my old amounts of activity with nutrition. So I found that I was still actually losing some weight once I started playing Frisbee because I didn't, you know, take that into account, the extra activity. So then I was slowly increasing my calories. I remember like 100 each week I would do until I started to get to like maintenance or going above. And I think by like a couple weeks into it, I was eating like, I had gone from eating like 1600 calories to eating like 3,500 calories, and I was maintaining my weight, which was nuts to me. And I started to understand, okay, I'm moving more, so I require more calories to be at maintenance. But I don't know if I fully grasped this at this time, because right around this time was when things started to go into lockdown. I moved back home. I was supposed to go on a trip to Iceland, and instead I was basically, you know, stuck at home for a matter of months, like a lot of us. And that was actually how I discovered veganism, coincidentally. It was like I had that time to kind of explore that a little bit more. So that was kind of coinciding. But I basically kept eating the same 3,500 calories, even though I was basically sitting in my house the whole day, not doing anything. So I went from like, okay, I had put on a couple pounds since I started this this bulk to like, you know, adding like 10 or 15 pounds in a pretty short period of time because I just wasn't moving as much. And so I got basically back up and over my initial starting point when I had started my fitness journey. So I was probably like 175 pounds, and I added maybe a bit of muscle, but I kind of just looked like I had put on body fat and like a bit of muscle. So then I was like, oh man, this bulking thing doesn't work. Like this, like, I wish I hadn't done it, et cetera. So, I was still, you know, I was still learning things and I was still trying to figure things out. And, I think kind of going back to the point that you made, like there are going to be phases that you go through these things and, you make mistakes or you don't do things optimally. But there are kind of things that you learn. So like through this period, I learned, okay, like I learned about physical activity and how that impacts like calorie amounts. And like, if you're doing less activity, then the surplus you need is less. And if you're doing more, then you can eat a little bit more. So, that was probably the main thing that I learned from that process. But I was again left in a point where I wasn't really happy with the way that I looked.
Yeah. So from that point, you went into another fat loss phase and you just, I guess the point is every single time you go through one of these periods, you are learning more through that process. And that, it's one thing to learn things from, scientific literature, podcast books, reading scientific studies, whatever it is. It's one thing to read knowledge, it's another thing to apply it and actually see how your body responds to that. And that is really where like practicing what you learn is actually where true understanding comes from.
Yeah, totally. That was actually what I was just going to say. Like I read the science and I understood it, but I had trouble kind of like putting it into practice and like really, you know, taking the time to try it out myself and, you know, see how it applied. And so, yes, essentially right after that, I entered another fat loss phase. And this time I wasn't doing a meal plan. So I was doing kind of the same flexible dieting, I guess, macro tracking approach. And I think it was probably lasted about 3 months or so, another kind of 3 month period. And by that time I was down to about 150 pounds. So I was like maybe five pounds heavier or so than I was at the time of my last fat loss phase. But I just wasn't really seeing that much change in my physique. Like I was adding some muscle, so I was a little bit bigger, maybe pretty similar levels of leanness. But I basically at that point was really scared to do another kind of surplus phase because I had done it one time. It didn't really work out for me. And I didn't want to, I was still kind of like identifying and holding on to this lean physique. And there were other things that were going on at this time. Like I started learning about volume eating. So basically like finding different like caloric densities of food. For example, like fruit and vegetables tend to be pretty low in terms of caloric density. So and then learning all these like kind of like about these like weird like diet foods. I'm sure you've seen them, like some of these products that are like high volume but filled with like thickeners and like sweeteners and just like these weird like I call them like Frankenstein products kind of. So I was basically everything that I ate had to give me the most fullness and like amount of food that I could get for the least amount of calories. And I think that this was a helpful tool in that it helped me to understand caloric density and that I could, you know, I can actually eat more food and it be less calories. But I think I took it a little bit to the extreme and it was like everything I ate had to be this like massive meal. And I had it in my head that, you know, I got so used to these portion sizes that like if I ate like, you know, a normal kind of like regular size portion that I wouldn't be full and that I would be super starving and hungry. And the more that I kind of bought into that, the more that some of these kind of behaviors that I experienced on my first fat loss in terms of like the binging kind of started to creep back in. And I had it in my head that I had like overcome that or that I had got past that. And that was just like something that had happened in the past. But I realized that it was just because I had my environment completely controlled, like going back to this idea of control. Like when I was living in my apartment by myself, or actually with my friend, I had complete control over my food, what I was cooking, what was in the house. But when I went back home, I just remember there's this one weekend where we got takeout and we got a ton of food and there was a bunch of kind of food like left over after everyone had like whatever their meal. And I just kept eating it and kept eating it and kept eating it. And to the point where I was just stuffed and felt terrible. And then later that night, like I like whatever reason had like a bag of granola and I ate like the entire like massive Costco size bag of granola, like crazy, like I can eat a crazy amount of food. And it was just like that the whole weekend. Like it just spiraled and spiraled. And I think what I kind of got out of that was that maybe I am not the problem. It's just I'm trying to maintain something that is unsustainable and it's too lean. And my body is sort of saying, you know, like you need to stop trying to hold on to this lean physique that is, you know, making you kind of miserable in a sense. Like you're just hungry all the time. You're always thinking about food. You feel like you have to eat these massive portions and able to stay full. And so I think that's in addition to not really feeling like I had the amount of muscle that I wanted, convinced me to try another surplus phase.
Yeah. I feel like I've gotten to the point where like I'm now, I guess when I first was going through those initial restrictive dieting phases through cross country, that was back in high school. And it's been, I don't know, probably 14 years since then. So it's been a while since I've kind of gone through this journey. And I guess I've done my fair bit of bouncing from like one extreme to another. And I've now settled kind of in a place that feels really comfortable when it comes to my nutrition and training. I feel in control, yet I also feel like it's really sustainable. I feel just really great about where I'm at, and I can go out and enjoy eating out with friends. I can enjoy going to family dinners. I can just kind of eat intuitively and maintain or kind of make slight progress towards my fitness goals. I'm at the point where I've pretty much realized all of my muscular gains as a natural lifter. So that's why I say kind of like I can make some slow progress. But I think that's really ultimately the place that everyone wants to be. And I feel very grateful to have gotten to that point. But yeah, I think doing some things that that don't work can be part of the process for most people. It doesn't necessarily need to be part of the process, but I think going through those kind of dietary struggles, I think you learn stuff about yourself, and you're also kind of learning what works for your body, what doesn't work for your body, and what works for you might not work perfectly for me, and vice versa. So how do you kind of recommend people go through that process in learning about nutrition and what is going to work best for them?
Well, I think that if you are able to, you know, find good information and, you know, science-backed recommendations and kind of come across this stuff yourself and try it out and, you know, apply it to yourself, like, okay, these are the general recommendations. Let me experiment with these different things and see which work best for me. That's definitely something that if you feel like you have the tools to do, I'd say is a valuable learning process. And I think if that's something where you don't know where you should be looking or what kind of tools you need in order to even experiment, like that is where a coach can kind of come in and say, okay, these are kind of the general principles that we recommend people follow. Let's experiment with these yourself and see how they work. And then if they don't, we can go back to the drawing board and figure things out. So I think some people will be able to go on that journey and that process by themselves, and other people will need somebody to kind of guide them and help them oversee that process.
Yeah, I think either way, having the guidance from day one is going to make you reach that point faster, whether you can do it on your own or not. Like I did most of it on my own, and it took many, many years to kind of get to that point. And I learned a lot through the process. So I wouldn't change anything about it. But but I think looking to podcasts, looking to books like Bigger, Leaner, Stronger by Mike Matthews. That was a pretty pivotal book in my fitness journey as well, and really kind of really initiated the process of me learning about macronutrients and the importance of focusing on kind of flexible dieting. So I think having those sources of inspiration is really important. So kudos to you for listening to an evidence-based kind of fitness podcast. But this is, but yeah, that's a process that you can kind of take on your own or kind of help or ask someone else to kind of help you along that way.
I think an important process an important part of the process for me as well was reflecting on what my larger goal was and if the actions that I was taking were congruent with that. And I can get a little bit more specific. Like for me, I enjoy training kind of like bodybuilding style training in the gym. And I think I could see eventually myself someday competing in a natural bodybuilding organization. And so I kind of had to remind myself of that. And I thought about where I was at that point and where I wanted to be. And I was like, okay, if I want to get to this point where I'm developing the physique that I want, or, you know, eventually being competitive, if I step on a stage someday, I need to be okay with letting go of the place that I was at now, which was, you know, having that, that shredded look and putting on, you know, more muscle and focusing on doing that. And so, once I kind of made that realization, it made it a lot easier for me to, you know, commit to doing that surplus, but doing it a little bit more, I guess I wouldn't even necessarily say intelligent approach, but a more measured approach, in terms of, okay, let's keep this slow. Let's make sure that, you know, I'm being inclusive with my food selection. I'm making it a balanced lifestyle. And, even though I did it, you know, I still did it, I think, in a way that was faster than what I wanted. Like it ended up being about 5 months, and I think I put on probably about 30 pounds. So it went from like 150 to 180 pounds. So I definitely looked a lot different. You know, I was getting comments from people that are like, oh, yeah, you put on a bit of weight, that sort of thing, especially from like my family members. But it actually didn't really bother me that much because I was like, you know what, like I like to say like keep the goal. And I was keeping the kind of ultimate goal in mind through that process and saying like, okay, I actually learned that I feel better between 15 and 20% body fat than I do between 10 and 15%. And like for yourself, you've mentioned before that, you know, like 12 to 15 is where you feel great. And like I, for myself, found something different. And I think that's kind of what we keep coming back to, is that it's going to take some experimentation to find where you feel best, and that it's okay to let yourself go outside of like what somebody else has had success with, or kind of what you've heard is optimal, and see, you know, what is working for me. And after I went through that process and I did another fat loss phase, my third fat loss phase, I had kind of used some of the things that I had, you know, mistakes I had made in the previous ones, like, okay, going too fast or being too restrictive, or you know, focusing on, you know, killing myself in the gym, that sort of thing, like taking some of those mistakes I had made, altering them, and it made the third fat loss phase that I did so much easier than the other two. Like it was almost effortless. And by the time that I had kind of shed some of that excess body fat, I found out that I had basically put on probably like 10 pounds of muscle in those 5 months. And I was like, holy crap. Like if I actually, you know, keep the goal and stick to a way of doing things, or like I could not have gotten to that point where I made that phase so easy if I hadn't messed up on made mistakes on the previous two times. And that's kind of where I'm at right now with the bulk that I'm doing currently. Like I'm not necessarily tracking everything that I eat. In fact, I'm not tracking things. I'm kind of using some of the strategies that I've learned in terms of like, what does a portion size look like for me that helps me to maintain my weight, and eating a little bit slightly more than that, and using some like hunger cues to figure that out, like 0 to 10, how hungry am I? How hungry am I? And maybe I want to be at like a 7 or an 8 when I'm, you know, in a surplus, and maybe a 5 when I'm maintaining, and like maybe a 3 or a 4 when I'm in a fat loss phase, and kind of using those as cues and getting more in tune with, you know, what does it feel like at certain phases. So I think I couldn't have gotten to any of those approaches that I've been more successful with had I not made those mistakes earlier. And I think the overall message from all of that for me is that the process of doing things gets efficient and easier over time as you practice it more. And if you are able to stick with it and work through those challenges and that adversity, the result on the other side is worth it.
That also gives you a lot of reassurance in knowing that you can have control over your body. So as you go through these different phases to body transformation, let's use fat loss phases and muscle building phases as an example. Lots of people start their fitness journey with the fat loss phase. And they go ahead, they lose some body fat, and then they get to like a comfortable level of leanness for them. And then they decide, hey, I'm really getting interested in resistance training. I want to build my strength or whatever it looks like. And they decide that they want to start focusing more on building muscle. Then you go into a muscle building phase. And at first, it can be a little daunting. It can kind of mess with you to start putting on some of that body fat as you start working on building muscle. But I guess just kind of trusting the process. And over time, as you continue going through those cycles, regardless of what your exact goals are, you are building reassurance in your ability to change your body however you want. So let's say now that you're working on continuing to bulk over time, you know, even if I get to higher body fat percentages that I'm not comfortable maintaining over the long term, I have the confidence that I'm able to shred that excess body fat off because I have done that before. I've proven it to myself that I can do this. And that is a huge unlock. It takes a lot of stress and anxiety out of the process. And that's why, that's one of the main reasons I most likely that I feel so great, because I know if I end up having a lot of stress come into my life, or I'm like, and I miss some workouts, or I don't sleep well, and I start maybe eating some foods that I don't typically eat that don't align with my goals. And let's say that I gain 5-10 pounds beyond what I'm comfortable having on my frame. I know I can easily take that off. Like, that's not really a concern. And I guess just building that reassurance, it comes through the process of doing. It comes through the process of actually implementing this knowledge in your own life and proving to yourself that you can do this as well. And that provides a lot of freedom in your health and fitness journey. And that's really a huge benefit of going through the process and actually implementing this on your own.
Yeah. And something that you just said right there that stood out to me as well is that I was kind of reminded myself that building muscle is a long process, and it takes time, and it's a committed process. And I kind of began to understood that once I had, you know, done a successful fat loss phase, okay, I think I can do this again. And it got a little bit easier each time. And that gave me, again, like you said, the reassurance that, okay, let me commit to this muscle building phase. Like, muscle building takes a lot longer than fat loss. And, you know, even if I mess it up a little bit and I put on weight a little bit faster than I should, I can always kind of get rid of that and then start the process again and learn even more that time and kind of refine that over time.
Yeah. And I think the general process for most people is kind of going from kind of more structure and in many cases restriction, going from more structure and sometimes restriction to kind of letting off the grip a little bit with your nutrition or your training over time. And that's eventually what creates nutritional freedom, exercise freedom, and just a better mindset around health and fitness. And that is, I think, and that structure is also necessary for learning about nutrition, for learning about training. If I don't have lots of structure in the beginning and I'm kind of doing these experiments on myself, then there are too many variables. I'm not controlling anything, so I'm not actually able to take any information away from that process. And I think that's why structure can be really important. So when you're first getting started, making a serious effort to stay consistent with your training and nutrition and doing things in a particular way is really important. So having a maybe building a meal plan for yourself, or having a coach or dietitian build you a meal plan, and then transitioning to maybe just having a few meals per day that are set, and then you start kind of tracking outside of that on your own, and then you can transition more to maybe just tracking kind of from day to day, and then tracking your nutrition after you have already kind of put it onto a plate or something, and just like as a kind of some guidance kind of constructively based on what you decide to do with your nutrition. You've got kind of some feedback after the fact, and then from there you can really shift towards intuitive eating. And I think that's really ultimately most people's goal, is to get to the point where you are just you're able to just kind of intuitively understand what your body needs in terms of nutrition, and you're able to still you're able to follow a nutrition plan that you really enjoy that also aligns with your goals. So is that kind of typically the process that you generally recommend for people?
I think that you summed that up very well. And I would say one of the most important things that you hit on is like there are stepping stones to this process. Like I think both of us would agree that we wouldn't be at the point that we are right now if we didn't make those mistakes and we didn't go through the process of, you know, being more paying closer attention to the type of things that we are consuming and tracking it pretty carefully. And then like, I think a good analogy is if level 100 is intuitive eating or mindful eating in a video game, like you can't just skip right away to level 100. You got to work through the lower levels first in order to get to that understanding. And maybe people start out on different levels. Maybe you come in having some knowledge of like, I already kind of know how to track food. Like what are some of the things that I need to be paying attention to, and figuring out, okay, these are kind of my general go-to meals that are going to help me get to my goals, but I can have some flexibility in there. And over time you start to, I would say, cultivate a mindset that is more inclusive and keeps your goals in mind, but allows you to kind of just go about your day without having to dedicate as much mental attention to it, which is the ultimate goal for people. Like, I think one of the biggest struggles is like, how am I going to do this like forever? Like when people start first getting into tracking, they're like, you know, how can I, like, I can't do this forever. And I would say, yeah, like the goal isn't for you to be doing this forever. It's for you to do it for a period of time to feel like you have a good handle on, if I was not putting everything into this tracking calculator, could I basically do this myself? And it takes a lot of time to cultivate that skill. So I would say keep working at it. You are going to make mistakes along the way, but it's worth making those mistakes and eventually, you know, going up those stepping stones and getting to the point where it kind of just becomes a habit that doesn't require as much mental attention.
Yeah, I've often used the metaphor of learning to ride a bike with clients. And I say, yeah, like eventually you want to be able to ride a bike and just like enjoy the experience of riding the bike without actually like thinking about what you're doing. I guess driving is very similar too. But you want to enjoy the experience of like going on trails or riding down the road or whatever it is. Like that's what you want to enjoy, and you want to feel like you have control over that, over your bike and over that experience. But nobody just jumps onto a bike at the very beginning of their journey and is able to just ride a bike. You first get the training wheels on, and then you have maybe your parents like holding as you kind of go along down the driveway or whatever it is. And you're transitioning from like a more rigid kind of structured approach. And then you're transitioning to a more freedom. And that's how I've done it with my nutrition. And I think the more guidance you can get along that path, the faster you're going to get to your end goal of nutritional freedom, exercise freedom, and that. And I would highly encourage that you get some guidance along that path. But that's really what you have to go through to learn how to ride the bike. That's what you have to go through to learn how to eat intuitively, in a way that you feel really good about and you feel in control of your nutrition instead of feeling like your nutrition controls you. So do you have any other thoughts on this topic that you want to bring up?
No, I love that analogy. And I think that that is, the goal for everyone is to get to that point. And it can take different amounts of time for different people. But the more that you kind of just trust that the process will refine itself over time, if you're learning and experimenting with different things, and sometimes some guidance can be helpful on that journey. I think that's somewhere that we all want to get eventually. So I'd say that you've pretty much summed it up well.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for your thoughts on this topic and kind of bringing this topic up. And I've enjoyed our conversations both during this podcast and also kind of outside this. So thanks so much for your time. I hope that you really enjoyed this episode and we look forward to catching you on the next one. See ya.
We really hope that you enjoyed this episode. To take the next step in your vegan fitness journey and get access to all our best content for free, check out thevegangym.com. We'll teach you everything you need to know to torch body fat, break through plateaus, build lean vegan muscle, and supercharge your health. Get started right now at thevegangym.com. Until next time, peace, love, and gains!